Happy Friday, my friends, and welcome to What's On Your Mind. You tell me. Did you watch that town hall, either of them last night or both? Or tell me what you think. Senator Kevin Cramer next hour for your questions and comments on anything and everything. Get your questions in early, okay? If a question, call right now, 855-200-1776. On the Oasis Petroleum Be the Buffalo Hotline. Get your questions in early. 855-200-1776, okay? And you can also text me at 701-367-2054 or Todd at 701-226-8503. Email us at studio at whatsonyourmindradio.com. Want to know what's on your mind today on this Friday? You know what's on my mind? It is a burial cemetery, burial service at a cemetery that is relatively new to North Dakota, the Fargo National Cemetery. The burial for an unclaimed vet is happening today. I'm going to argue that that's the most important thing happening today, even as we close in on Election Day, 18 days from now. 18 days from now. Jason Hicks from the United Patriotic Bodies is here, and they do military funerals. They do military honors for veterans all the time. A great organization. The Fargo National Cemetery is North Dakota's Arlington. It's here for our fallen heroes. And one of the places they can choose to be buried is the Fargo National Cemetery. At 11 a.m. today, they are burying an unclaimed vet there at this cemetery. And Jason Hicks, where is the cemetery for folks that that don't know that might want to in some way show their respects today?
The actual address is 8709 40th Avenue North. It's County Road 20, as everyone knows it locally. Basically north of West Fargo, probably about 2-3 miles.
And you can go north on 29, get to Harwood, and just go west, and then follow the signs, right?
Yep, correct. There's a sign right on Interstate, and it'll take you right onto County 20. It'll say Fargo National Cemetery, and then there's signs throughout the route as well.
Now,
it's pretty well marked.
The processional is going to be led by some of the patriotic riders, right? The patriot riders. Is it patriot or patriotic riders?
It's the Legion riders.
Oh, the Legion.
The members of the American Legion.
Okay, yeah.
Yep, the Legion riders.
So the Legion riders are doing this today, which is fantastic. Where does that leave from? Like, where do they?
It'll be leaving from Brunswick Funeral Home in Fargo, right across from the AmVets, really.
Oh, okay. Hanson Brunswick Funeral Home, which is downtown Fargo, just on the edge of downtown, from there all the way out to the Fargo National Cemetery, and that's at 11 a.m. And the only other thing you want people to know is where to park when you're out there, right?
Yep. Just park along 40th Avenue, or if there's room, the Maple Cheyenne Lutheran Church also is going to let us park there.
It is a beautiful little cemetery out there, and, you know, there's a lot of room to grow and expand, and that's going to become something beautiful. How common is an unclaimed vet funeral?
You know, it is not very common at all. This is honestly the first one that I can think of that I participated in. You know, you see it on the national news around that this does happen throughout our country, but this is the first one that I can ever think of being part of.
And
I've done.
I mean, and how do they do this? They say, okay, we have the remains, and the person's name is this, and then wait for somebody to come forward.
Yeah, they try to contact next of kin, line up next of kin. When someone dies, you know, that's kind of the first thing is your notification of next of kin. And in this case, a sister was located next of kin, but she lives out of the area and she has no means to get up here. And they had been basically estranged for many years, hadn't spoken to each other, whatever. And they, for whatever reasons, and I couldn't even tell you why, no clue. But she was not able to come up for this funeral.
So
we are going to make it a point.
Go ahead.
But we are going to make it a point to send her the flag and also the casings that we fire for our rifle salute to her.
Oh, gosh.
As a memory of her brother.
That's great. And you do know this person served in the Air Force from 1971 to 1975 and the name, and that's it, right?
That's all I know. Yep.
And the name is?
Leland Durr.
The D-U-R-R?
D-E-R-R.
D-E-R-R.
Leland Arthur Durr.
Served U.S. Air Force 71 to 75. And the remains came from Vietnam?
No. He died locally here in Fargo.
Oh, he died here locally. Okay. But because he's a veteran, then obviously you're reaching out to family and arranging the funeral, and if the, in this case, unclaimed other than a estranged sister, you do this ceremony for him.
Yes. Wow. Yep. And we do every ceremony at the National Cemetery, whether there's family there or not. We're gonna continue doing this. We have to.
That's great. Anything else you want people to know about today?
No, I hope to see Senator Cramer out there. I heard he would be, and God bless America.
No, that's great. That's great. I didn't know that the Senator Cramer is here next hour for the Talk Radio Town Hall, so he would have time to make it up for the event, and I do hope that there's folks there honoring Leland Durr. A veteran?
Yeah. There will also be an entire complement of Air Force personnel there for this. They really came and stepped forward to help out with this, too, because he's one of theirs. You know, the Army would do the same thing. The Navy would do the same thing. So at the end of the day, we don't forget our people.
Somebody else is texting the address one more time.
The address for the National Cemetery is 8709 40th Avenue North, Harwood.
Very good. Really appreciate the work you and others with the United Patriotic Bodies do, Jason. Thanks for the time today. Appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you, Scott.
It's the time to thank our veterans, show our respect, and you know, just the idea of an unclaimed vet. Doesn't it kind of break your heart? Just amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Jason Hicks, United Patriotic Bodies, that'll be at the Fargo National Cemetery. That is a beautiful facility. I'm glad we have it now. It's R. Arlington in North Dakota. It's the federal cemetery, the one and only federal cemetery in North Dakota. I was there out there on dedication day, and it's a pretty amazing place. Okay, I thought that was the most important thing of the day, and I'll stick by my decision. That was the most important thing of the day. Only if Todd agrees. And Kevin agrees.
Oh, I absolutely.
Kevin, you're in? Sure. Yeah, Todd says sure. Okay.
I've got to get up and see that the cemetery. I just,
yeah, it's worth doing. Yeah. It's sort of, I don't know. I mean, you think of Arlington and there's hills, right? Rolling hills.
I've never been to Fort Snelling. My dad's at Fort Snelling.
Yeah, same thing. Fort Snelling, beautiful. I mean, all hilly and
you bet.
This is flat. This is like a national cemetery at a farm field. But let's get to it this morning on the program. You tell me what's on your mind, Tony and Bismarck. You're up. Go.
Yeah, I talked to a lot of friends of mine about the measures, and we're not sure how to vote on these measure one and measure two yet. It seems like yes is no and no is yes. What's your opinion on them?
No is yes and yes is no. I'm trying to follow what you're saying there. Measure number one is related to how we govern higher education in North Dakota. The governor put forward a proposal, had a task force. It didn't go anywhere. This is sort of the legislature's idea of fixing it and going about it. I think most of that came from the legislature. I've not heard many good things said about it in the way of reform. We definitely need, in my mind, a reform in the governance of higher ed in North Dakota, but I guess this isn't the ticket. And Measure 2 is sort of the same thing, because Measure 2, well, it's about a different issue. It is about, is this the right fix? In other words, the mess with people saying, hey, you want to help the vets? Sign here. And then you have something on the ballot that literally is unrelated to vets whatsoever. You know, that was just one item, sort of a lost leader to get you to sign it. Is no way to change the Constitution in North Dakota. So we definitely need reform there. Some people are afraid that Measure 2 is too much of a power grab by the legislature. in the process of initiated measures. And I guess my question is, you got to decide whether you think I'll wait for a better fix or whether I'm just going to go with this one, would be my take, Tony. Let me see if that helps you. Stay tuned. We'll talk after this. All right, lunchtime, folks. PetraServe USA, pulled pork with gravy or chicken fettuccine?
Fettuccine.
Is that what you're going to pick?
That'd be me, yep.
All right, that's at Valley City. You had to exit 292 off I-94.
Know it well.
Two Sloppy Joes and chips. How's that sound?
Oh, fantastic.
Harwood location. So I'd say, you know, go up there, have a little, you know, take a moment to honor a vet today up at the Fargo National Cemetery. Leland Durr up there, an unclaimed vet, being buried today. And stop in for a little lunch in Harwood there. Two Sloppy Joes just east of the Fargo National Cemetery. West Main Avenue, West Fargo Chicken Enchilada Hot Dish, and 12th Avenue, North Fargo Shepherd's Pie. Are you kidding me? Shepherd's Pie today. Fantastic. Fantastic. That's all of PetraServe USA. Two sides in a bun with every special grab-and-go convenience with that home cooking. But all the stores have many great grab-and-go items. My favorite is the Hot Stuff Personal Pan Pizza, the two cookies, the 20-ounce drink, four items, $4 all day. Every day, the caramel rolls. Don't forget Valley Dairy Stores, Northern Valley, up there in Grand Forks in the region, part of the PetraServe USA family as well. Okay, so Tony in Bismarck is gone, so I take it he got his answer. Yeah, right now I'm probably no and no. I'm probably no and no, but I could be convinced to be no and yes. a number two. What I'll promise to do here in the next, we'll do it next week, is we'll get, you know, somebody on each side of those so you can kind of make your own decision there. Okay? We'll do that because I get asked about it a lot, and I love how people pay attention to it, so it's great. John in Fargo is next here and a bunch of texts to get to, but first let me go to a little clip from last night's debate. I thought this was one of the nicer, it's not the debate, I guess, but it wasn't supposed to be a debate. It was supposed to be a conversation with voters, but Savannah Guthrie from MSLSD decided that it was going to be a debate. So she, of course, was having her moment in the sun as a card-carrying credentialed fake news specialist and bashing away. But every once in a while, they actually put a voter on, and this was kind of a cute moment here. Listen to this.
Have Paulette Dale. She leans slightly to Biden. She voted for Clinton in 2016. She's registered as a Republican. Paulette, what's your question?
Thank you. Good evening, Mr. President.
Thank you very much.
I have to say, you have a great smile.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, he does. You're so handsome when you smile. As the daughter of immigrants to the United States who fled Eastern Europe due to religious persecution,
right.
The United States immigration policies are very personal for me.
Right.
Surveys show that most Americans and the majority of Republicans support the Dreamers program. So my question for you, Mr. President, is if you are elected to a second term, do you expect to pursue your previous efforts to cut the DACA program?
Yeah.
Why or why not?
And by the way, this woman is not reading anything.
I don't think she is.
She had some notes written down, but she had them down. She's asking all of that.
So you're saying he's not getting prepared questions?
While looking at them. I don't know, but here we go.
And the DACA is somewhat different than Dreamers. You understand that, and you understand it better than anybody probably in this room. Where do you come from, by the way, originally? Where?
My grandparents were from Russia and Poland.
That's very good. Okay. So we are going to take care of DACA. We're going to take care of Dreamer. It's working right now. We're negotiating different aspects of immigration and immigration law. We've built now over 400 miles of border wall, southern border. Mexico is working very closely with us. We have the strongest border we've ever had. We want people to come into our country. They have to come in legally. But we are working very hard on the DACA program, and you will be, I think, very happy over the course of the next year.
Thank you.
Because I feel the same way as you do about it.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank
President.
You. Thank you very much.
She's smiling from ear to ear there. But how about the thing about the nice smile? And he blushed, you know, and talked about didn't vote for you. I mean, not like she's trying to suck up or anything,
right.
But I kind of a nice human moment. And I tell you, people that interact with Trump privately always say that. Completely, I mean, in public, on the stage, and really believes that any show of weakness is very dangerous. Right? That's how he's a counterpuncher. So he's going to go out there, and anybody's punching, he's counterpunching. That's his public persona. That is what he does out there. On the limelight. Behind the scenes, you know, a grandfather, a father, and someone that blushes when somebody says you have a nice smile. Kind of cute. John in Fargo, 580-550, our telephone number if you want to give us a ring today. Go ahead, John. Yes, sir.
So, for everybody in Fargo-Moorhead who wants to go up and attend this funeral for this veteran, which to me is just shameful, you know, that somebody should, you know, words can't describe that. But the easiest way to find that New Fargo National Cemetery, I-29, you go north of the 19th Avenue exit to the next exit, which is County Road 20, which is those big twin underpasses to the north. Take a left, so you're headed west, and you're going to go about, it's about 4-odd miles or so, just straight west. You can't miss it. You'll see the old Cheyenne Lutheran Church out there in the middle of nowhere, and the cemetery is right next to it. You cannot miss it. It's that easy.
And as Jason Hicks mentioned, you get to Harwood, there are signs that lead you as well off of the interstate.
It's actually south and west of Harwood.
Yeah.
Harwood is the next exit, about another 3-4 miles to the north of there.
You're talking about the cut across, and it's a good idea. Thank you, John. Appreciate that very much.
Yep. Have a good day.
You too, sir. 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. Gail texts this note. Scott, the easiest way to describe Savannah is a Savannah or Savannah?
Savannah. Yep.
Kamala
Savannah.
Or Kamala?
Oh, Savannah.
Savannah is a wild cat with her tail caught in the door.
Ha ha. That's good.
You think that works? You think that works? It fits? That's okay?
That's a good analogy as any.
Texter says, have Kim Koppelman on to explain Measure 2 to you and your listeners. He convinced me to vote yes on Measure 2. He is convincing on that. We've had Kim on the show. And again, everybody believes the process to put a ballot question on the ballot to change our Constitution is flawed. It's bad news. The question now is, what's the best method? This is the legislature's method, and, you know, I do agree. There's an argument. As I said, I was kind of a little back and forth on it, but I want people first to know what it's for. Okay, so the questions for Senator Cramer pouring in. There's a yes on two. More yeses on two. I just wanted to share with you two government agencies competing, one state and one federal. The don't buy it comment by North Dakota Department of Health seems fishy. I realize COVID is real, but I think we need to start following the money to see why this virus hype continues. If this continues, I want to be able to drive through tests for cancer, flu, diabetes, colonoscopies, and run a ticker tracker. And run a ticker tracker on all media for those results.
I don't know if I want to do a drive-through colonoscopy.
You don't?
I don't know. I'm thinking about a little more prep than that.
Yeah, she sent a screenshot.
Right.
Screenshot of a North Dakota Department of Health warning saying, you may have seen posts lately suggesting a recent CDC study indicates mask wearers became infected with COVID-19. Face coverings don't work. Don't buy it. Face coverings are meant to prevent the wearer from spreading COVID-19. All right, so they're countering that.
Immigration. And Scott, you know, you said she is not reading. She's asking her question without reading. So then that brings up the question. Why was Biden staring up at the ceiling all of the time?
That's a good question.
Very interesting.
Analysis and or I guess sort of
diagnosis,
professional opinion of Joe Biden is beyond my pay grade, but there is something going on. There's no denying that. You can hear it about everything he says. Do you also notice sometimes it's like, and last time I heard this too, the response to the fracking, and then the next time he's like, whoa, he's like all revved up. So I don't know. All I know is Disco Duck was number one on this day in 1976, and I'd like to request that for the next buffer.
Oh,
okay, all right.
The legendary Rick Dees and his cast of idiots.
Number one.
Yeah, it was. That's right.
Hit 1976 on this day, 18 days till Election Day, ladies and gentlemen. This is What's on Your Mind, brought to you by our friends at Pipers. If you want land, one of the safest investments on the planet, you are going to find a Christmas catalog that makes Amazon look puny. When you go to Pipers.com or call for their catalog at 877-700-4099. Coming up Tuesday, Ramsey County, 689 acres. Ward County, 312 acres same day. Also in McLean County that day, 1,381 acres. And I could describe this and you would say, sign me up. It's just beautiful. 1,381 acres in McLean County. That's at 5 o'clock on Tuesday. It's the Herta Farm, one of the most productive and scenic farms in all of McLean County. Butte Nortis Townships, nestled on the breaks of the hills near Conesburg, bordering McHenry County. You know where I'm talking about now? So that's beautiful. Check it out at Pipers.com and a whole lot more. Machinery auctions, land management, real estate. They do it all at Pipers. 877-700-4099. Our next guest is one of those guests of about two or three that when they're on cable news, I lean in. You know, it gets to be background most of the time, but when Gordon Chang is on, I lean in. I got to hear every single word, and proud to have him on the program today to talk a little bit about China and our U.S.-China policy. Gordon, thanks for the time. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, and thank you so much. I really appreciate this.
The Coming Collapse of China is a book you are known for. Can I set my watch to that? Like when is the? I'm kind of hoping sooner rather than later. Is this imminent?
Well, I hope that it is sooner rather than later. I wrote that book in 2001, and I said that within 10 years the Communist Party would fail. So I'm out of time. I didn't see the 2008 downturn, which strengthened the Communist Party. But also, what I did was, in the book, I looked at the weaknesses of the regime. And those weaknesses are on display today, even more so than when I wrote the book. And so I do believe that China is much weaker than we think that it is. I think that there is indeed reasons to believe that it is not. It's not going to last that long. But as I said, I've been out of time.
You're out of time. Well, as you say, world events will turn that around a little bit. So I'm consumed with the idea that they should pay and pay in a big way for what happened with the coronavirus. Is that plausible? I mean, are they going to pay the price at some point for all the economic harm that they've caused?
Well, they certainly don't want to, but the question is whether the United States will force them to. And we have a very important reason. You know, we'll never get recompense for the damage to American society. I mean, we had 217,000 Americans have been killed by this disease. But we've got to remember that these people just didn't die. These people were actually murdered. And the reason is that China, in December and January, took steps to deliberately spread the virus beyond its borders. So, you know, we need to establish deterrence. And that's the reason why we've got to make China pay, because this is not the last pathogen that will be generated from Chinese soil. They occur all the time. And if Chinese leaders think that they can continue to spread the disease and kill others outside of their country, then we're in for a world of hurt. So we've got to stop them. We've got to make sure that they understand they can't do this again.
What tools make the most sense for the administration to do that?
I think that we need to work with our friends and partners because together everyone holds a lot of Chinese assets and we can make an impression on China. So, for instance, we hold more than China holds more than $1 trillion of our treasury obligations. You know, if those were taken, that would have a big effect on China's ability to sustain itself. But it would be a much bigger effect if other countries did so as well. If we were to do this alone, China would say, oh, you know, the United States was just reneging on its debt. Now, China wouldn't be telling the truth. That wouldn't be what we're doing. But nonetheless, that's the case that they would make to the international community. We need to make sure that everybody does this in concert so China can't make that argument.
The range of possibilities on the coronavirus are all over the map, from absolutely 100% intentional, as this recent virologist was saying, and providing some measure of backup on, to they just bungled it and it just got out of hand and got out of there and they didn't tell us soon enough. Is it didn't tell us soon enough, or is it designed it as a weapon? Which one do you think it is?
I actually think that this was an engineered pathogen, but I don't know. And we will only know years from now after scientists argue among themselves, because they vociferously disagree. But it doesn't really matter how this thing started, in a sense. We know what Chinese leaders did once this disease got out in China. So, for instance, Chinese leaders knew for at least 5 weeks that this was a highly contagious bug. But during that period, if they had said nothing, that would have been grossly irresponsible. But what they did was try to convince the world that it was not contagious. And at the same time, Xi Jinping, the Chinese ruler, pressured countries not to impose travel restrictions and quarantines on arrivals from China while he was imposing travel restrictions and quarantines internally. So he knew that these measures worked, and he knew that by pressuring other countries to take arrivals from China, he was spreading the disease. You put all of this together, and it says that Xi Jinping either knew or had to know that he was infecting others around the world and that this would lead to deaths. And indeed, more than 1 million people outside of China have died.
The Trump administration has a all-of-government national security approach to counter the Chinese regime's infiltration of the United States. So we know, I guess, that some of the things we talk about in the way of a response would be likely to happen at some point under the Trump administration. What would happen with a Biden administration with that effort?
Well, a couple things. First of all, every new U.S. president gives China a grace period. President Trump did it. And it was only after Xi Jinping did not reciprocate President Trump's generous overtures that President Trump then started to go after the Chinese. And it's a good thing he did. Now, with the Biden administration, there would not only be a grace period, which we really can't afford at this moment, but also there are indications that a President Biden would be quite generous with China, would actually believe that go back to the engagement policies that have failed, and would try to actually support communists in China. And he's actually said, look, China's not competition for the U.S. Chinese leaders are good folks. And he said a number of other things that indeed are extremely troubling.
Listener asked the question, quoting something evidently you had said somewhere, that you believe that China took steps to deliberately spread the coronavirus once they realized that it was crippling their own country. So That was a case of, wow, what the heck is this? Let's send it elsewhere. I mean, when you say deliberate, maybe describe that a little bit.
Well, as I mentioned, they engaged in a disinformation campaign about the contagiousness of the disease. They forced countries to accept arrivals from China. What else could they have been thinking? So they knew that they were spreading this disease, or they had to know, because that was the inevitable result of their actions. So this is malicious. And indeed, we can't say that this was just bungling. There's too much evidence to suggest they knew what they were doing. So I believe that however this was started, whether this was naturally occurring or whether this was an engineered virus that maybe somehow escaped from their lab, whatever the origin is, as I said, we know that once this disease got out in China, that they then decided to level the playing field and to get even with other countries by spreading the disease.
Why should we care? Why should folks that just go about their lives in the U.S. Worry or care about what's going on in China? Explain the threat to folks.
Well, first of all, they should care because more than 217,000 Americans have been killed by this disease. But they should care because China steals hundreds of billions of dollars each year of U.S. intellectual property, thereby taking away our future. We know that China sells fentanyl into the United States, undoubtedly with the approval of Beijing, which is killing Americans by the tens of thousands. We know that China this year was directly involved in fomenting violence in the United States, trying to get Americans to riot. We have evidence of that from Radio Free Asia. China believes that it is the world's only sovereign state, which means that they believe we're a colony. You can just go on, but China is the gravest threat, not only to the United States, but to the international system.
Is our new space agency a hedge, if you will, on the national defense front against China? Is that one of the reasons we have now a new U.S. space agency?
Well, yes, and that was an important thing. What President Trump did was create a sixth branch of the military, which is now on par with the Air Force, the Navy, the Army, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard. This is what China did about 5 years ago. China is much farther ahead in terms of organizing their military for war in space. We are behind. Also, in terms of technology, there are indications in some areas that China is actually far ahead of the United States. So, you know, we've got to stop being complacent because China could win the next war in the first half hour. So, as people talk about it, Space Pearl Harbor, yes, that's exactly what could happen to us. And so, you know, President Trump took a lot of heat for creating the Space Force, but it was absolutely necessary. That's not to say that it's sufficient, but it's, a reorganization that was a precondition to success in space.
Hold that thought. More coming up with Gordon Chang. Oh, that's a classic. Might be in the Hall of Fame, this song right here.
To a party the other night, all the ladies were treating me right. Moving my feet to the disco beat. How in the world could I keep my seat? All of a sudden I begin to change. I was on the dance floor acting strange.
We'll keep that alive for you, folks. It didn't even get to the fun part yet, so hang tight.
Look at me.
Rick.
I'm the disco.
There he goes. Music right there. I don't know.
The song that went number one because Rick Dees could do a decent Donald Duck impersonation.
Number one on this date. That's why we're playing it.
Oh, okay.
It's the only reason we're playing it.
79?
Six?
70, yeah, I'll say 79.
Six. All right, you guys, go find out. I bet it's 76. Todd sounds very confident there. We are brought to you in part today by our friends at Dak Diesel. CJ and the team at Dak Diesel are ready to fix anything. And I mean anything. Semi, tractor. If it's diesel and it moves, you want to call them at Dak Diesel. DakDiesel.com.
76, by the way.
701-258-5011. Give them a call. They're in Bismarck, but servicing vehicles from everywhere. Anything diesel. The leading repair and maintenance shop. And one of our fine sponsors here on What's On Your Mind. Okay, back with Gordon Chang. And Gordon is a go-to source for us on China. Bill in Grand Forks has a question for him. Go ahead, Bill.
Gordon,
China's been getting, at least in my sense of things, more and more aggressive with Taiwan. A lot of flyovers on the Taiwanese Strait, a lot of tough talk. Besides us in our 1979 act where we're going to defend Taiwan, is there any other countries lining up that would defend them in the event that it really came to some type of real war between the two nations?
That's a great question. No country is committed to defend Taiwan, though, as you point out, we have the 1979 Taiwan Relations Act, which effectively commits us to selling Taiwan weapons. But I do believe that we're seeing countries in the region understand the importance of Taiwan and certainly working much more closely with it. So you have Japan, Vietnam, India, Australia. And because countries are starting to see China become more belligerent, as you said, so they are starting to see that they've got common interests with Taiwan. And we certainly do, because for more than a century, we've drawn our Western defense perimeter off the coast of East Asia. And that means that Taiwan is in the center of that critical line for us. Also, we just can't allow China to take over any democracy, especially one as important as Taiwan.
Well, I appreciate your comments on that. And, yeah, I hope if push came to shove that those other countries would help protect that lone democracy over there.
Yeah, certainly. It is absolutely crucial because Beijing is determined to take not just Taiwan, but parts of Japan. And now they're talking about dismembering Russia, Tajikistan. They've killed 21 Indian soldiers since early May. This is really a very bad story about how Beijing is now moving against its neighbors and trying to close off the global commons.
Bill, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much. There is a email here from a listener asking is if the Chinese military is in Western Canada, citing a story here that talks about CalExit allowing embedded Chinese soldiers in West Coast ports, solar energy farms, and inland ports.
You know, I've seen that story. I don't think that it is true, or at least if there's Chinese soldiers there, they're not there in force. But this goes to show a broader point about the engagement of the Chinese military. You know, we have tried to do that because we thought that as China became stronger, it would become benign. Unfortunately, the opposite is true. So I think that countries should be tossing out their Chinese military contingents. I mean, they're pretty small, but nonetheless, they shouldn't be working with China.
Aaron, question four. Gordon Chang. And Aaron, I see, is in Fingal, North Dakota. Go ahead, Aaron.
Hey, Scott. Mr. Chang. The question's two parts. First of all, I have a home and my wife is from the Philippines, and they're concerned with the activities in the South China Sea, and I feel that Duarte is too soft. And my second part is 1.5 billion people to feed. If we stop trading and selling food stuff to China, how long would they last?
Great. I didn't hear all of the first question, but let me take the second question first, and that is, yes, China has a food problem right now. We're not the only suppliers of food to China. Other countries are as well. If we all acted in concert, there would really be severe problems in China. The one thing about China, and again, a broader point, and that is with our trade and commerce and with our investment, we are enriching a hostile regime that is configuring its military to fight us. And this is just wrong. So even if other countries would trade with China, we shouldn't be doing that.
I love the questions. Always great from our audience. And we'll have you back, Gordon, to talk more about it. Because this, in my mind, is such an important topic for every single American to recognize that enemy that you sort of don't think about. You hear, you know, President Trump sparring with, but is plotting and planning every single day. So darn important. Thanks a bunch. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
More after this.